views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday's my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbankson, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I will try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. But please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, today is a Tuesday. It's a politics day. And in the studio with me, I have Frank Tomaszewski. He is a borough assembly member, and he has filed his paperwork to run for State House of Representatives in District 34. How are you doing today, Frank?
I am doing terrific. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. It's, you know, first of all, doesn't minus one feel a lot better than minus 25?
It's almost T-shirt weather.
It was balmy out there. Oh, my God.
We've lived here long enough that we know once it gets to zero again, we are back to the T-shirts and enjoying that sunshine.
I always tell people the levels, and my level is that first time it hit zero, going, oh, it's starting to get cold. Then it hits, you know, 10, then 20 below, and I'm this cold. Then it warms up like to zero today, and it's I'm in Hawaii. Then it gets to 40 below, and it's just things are breaking. Then it warms back up to 20 below, and 20 below feels really good.
It's the wind that gets me, though. Recently with that wind, boy, goes right through you when it's that cold.
I am wimpy with that. Now, you've been on the borough assembly now for, you're going into your third year.
Yes.
And you've lived in Fairbanks here for how many years?
So I originally came to Fairbanks in 1979. So that's been quite a few years.
You've been a millennia ago, and a few decades.
Yeah, my parents told me to get in the car one day, and I went from dodging traffic to dodging mosquitoes all in about the span of 11 days. I think the drive took us.
Where did you drive up from?
From Illinois.
Wow, Midwest.
Yes.
And you've enjoyed it since. Where did you go to high school at?
I graduated high school right here at Lathrop in 1990.
How was that?
High school? It was great.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. It was a good community of folks. You know, I think my high school class had about 400 graduating class. So
mine
it was pretty big.
Mine had 23. And it was a big class over Monroe.
I still see people today, and they're like, Frank, how are you doing? And they're like, I remember you, but I can't remember your name. It's just been so long ago.
I know it. My goodness.
And there were so many.
Did you go to college?
I did. I spent a few years at the UAF here. So I never left state. I took my time at UAF, studied some business, some finance, really didn't have any idea where I wanted to be at or where I wanted to go as far as direction. And that's when I got into the electrical field, became a tradesman, and really spent most of my years in the electrical industry.
Wow. You know, you have an incredible wife, Harmony, and you two are partners. It's just very apparent, your partners. How did you meet your wonderful wife?
Well, that's a good story. what is now called Pioneer Park, you know, has a great volleyball court in the back. And when I was a kid, younger, my younger years, we used to, that was one of the places we would go to hang out. We would hang out and we'd go play volleyball on the weekends. And I met Harmony. She was actually a roommate of someone that I had went to school with. So she was a roommate, and I just introduced through that.
Wow. Okay. What year did you get married? Not that I'm a stalker. Just curious, trying to introduce you to Fairbanks here.
So I've been married since 1995. So it's been 26 years, if I'm correct.
You know, I don't have that many fingers and toes, so I can't help you.
26 years, and she is really a wonderful partner and wife, and absolutely couldn't do what I do without her.
She is a fantastic lady, and see you and her with your children. It's just a great group. You're your own business. You have your own business right now.
I do. So right now what I'm doing is I have what's called Sample Alaska, and what we do is we produce birch syrup here in the interior. We tap our trees. We tap a lot of trees every year, and I think this was our ninth commercial season that we've been tapping our birch trees here. I leave it to YouTube to really, you know, disrupt your life. I was going along doing electrical work, and every once in a while, you know, you get caught into the YouTube videos and you're doing one after the other. And here's this guy.
No, I don't know about that.
Here's this guy from Russia, and he's tapping his birch trees and making syrup. And I'm watching this video. I'm just intrigued at what he's doing. And, you know, I get up and I look out my window. I live on Birch Hill. I look out my window and I have birch trees everywhere. I can do that. And so it was an amazing story. What I did is I got right on Amazon. I ordered a couple spiles, a couple of taps. They're called spiles. And I ordered them, and they came in the mail. And I went out and I drilled some trees, and they started running. And which the funny thing is there's only a very short window in the birch season to tap your trees.
Yeah.
Very, you know, very narrow, from a week to 3 weeks generally in this area. And the strange thing is I went out there, I watched the video, I ordered the taps, they came in the mail, I tapped the tree and it was running. I thought, this is amazing. Look how easy this is.
Was it, you know, April?
Yeah, April. It was right in I think it was mid-April. It ran a little early that year. It goes anywhere from mid-April to early May, and mm-hmm. kind of in that month.
And you've been doing it since.
Yeah, and I've been doing it ever since. You know, before that, I was doing my electrical business. I had my own contracting business. It was a general contracting, but I did more of an electrical specialty. And that was a lot of fun. But, you know, my kids were growing up. I have 5 kids with Harmony. Right now their age is 23 to 12, so I still have 3 living
in the house.
Still 3 at home, which is awesome. I love my kids. They're really amazing part of my life. I'm so thankful for a family. But I was running my electrical business, and I was started doing this birch syrup at the same time, and I'm watching my kids get older, and my oldest went ahead and was getting married, and I was just thinking, wow, I'm so busy with work and doing business, I had to let something go. So I just concentrated fully on my birch syrup business. I stopped doing electrical, and spend more time with family and do that.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're at 458. We're going to take a phone call first. We've got one coming in. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Frank Tomaszewski, and your name is?
This is Ron, David.
Hello, Ron.
And, This is not a political question at all, but your guest did provide us with my segue into it with the birch trees. On my way to the Club Alaska in recent weeks, I've noted that low section between the Old Rich and the New Rich, that used to be a tremendous place for fog and so forth, and heavily populated with trees. And now I see everything except the birch trees have been removed. Does anybody have an answer to what's going on there?
Yeah, that's owned by Cook Inlet Region Incorporated. and they were having a lot of trespass issues, so they just went in and just rendered it all out and removed all the overburden, so, and left some of the big birch and spruce trees there. They were just having too many trespass issues with people camping out. So they said, okay, we're just going to remove the overburden foliage, and it's they're looking at either developing it or selling it. Talked with them about it last week.
Hey, maybe if someone could give you, maybe they could give you permission, you could tap a little trees there.
Or you could tap it without permission.
Oh, we wouldn't want to do that.
No, mercy, no. Okay, well, thanks very much, guys. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Ron. You take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And Fairbanks, this time we are going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The pediatric COVID-19 vaccine is now authorized and available for anyone age 5 to 11. Consider getting your child immunized today with this free, safe, and effective vaccine. To learn more about the vaccine and schedule an appointment, talk to your child's healthcare provider or call the Alaska COVID-19 Helpline at 907-646-3322 for assistance. More information at covidvax.alaska.gov. A message from the Department of Health and Social Services.
It's the season to plan your holiday party. Make that first call to Big Daddy's and set up your full catering service. Big Daddy's has a fantastic menu to choose from, and they can cater any size gathering. Big Daddy's will prepare, deliver, and set up your meal, leaving you free to enjoy your gathering with your friends and family. That sounds like a great party plan. Make your catering reservations for holiday get-togethers today. Just call Big Daddy's at 452-2501. That's 452-2501 for Big Daddy's Catering.
Weather on KFAR, brought to you by the all-new Rat Pack Cigar on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West. For quality cigars, even a tasting room. Over 100 varieties. Rat Pack Cigar.
KFAR Weather.
New winter weather advisory continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. High of 0 today under partly cloudy skies with flurries likely. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered flurries likely tonight, 14 below. Chance for snow again tomorrow, 7 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 4 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prues in the studio here with Borough Assembly Member and District 34 candidate for State House, Frank Tomaszewski. Now, Frank, you've been on the Borough Assembly going into your third year, and boy, you've seen some whacked out stuff. I'm just not going to paint it nicely. I mean, you've seen stuff where they've tried to force you to contract with unions only. You've been there through a pretty good storm, and I admire you for the way you conduct yourself, the way you act, your votes. You're quite precise and you're thorough.
I try to get to the point. I'm not someone that generally loves to hear myself speak, you know, and which is an attribute of some folks in politics. They like to talk a lot. And yeah, that's an interesting issue you brought up. You know, there are pros and cons on both sides of the union, non-union issue. There's absolutely a place for both, I think, at the table. And there's and that really brought together a lot of information, a lot of testimony from those in the community on both sides, from the union and from non-union at the same time. And really everybody agreed that it was a not a very good idea and wasn't right for Fairbanks and wasn't right for the borough.
And then you had the ranked choice voting issue.
Well, the ranked choice voting, there we go. This is this is an interesting concept, you know, something that's been tried nowhere in the United States the way that it has been thrust upon us. And so that's something that the borough did try to add that to our local elections, and we were able to, and the same thing happened. The people really came out and said, you know what, we really don't want this. And let's look and see if it's a catastrophe at the state level, or if it even passes the constitutionality. You know, there's lawsuits going on against it right now. Mead Treadwell and Dick Randolph have a lawsuit against it, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. If it's possible that it could, there could be a stay on that through the next election, we don't know. But we did get that voted down, and you know, one vote, one person, I think is really a
good way,
fair
to do
and equitable way to do it for our community.
You know, what got me about it was I wasn't on the city council side at the time, but it was only good for the borough assembly, the borough municipal side. It was not good for the city side. So you'd have had a ranked choice voting on borough candidates and a normal voting on city candidates. So
was really not a well thought out issue.
But for me, it's quite entertaining.
Yeah, I learned more about pistachio pudding than I really wanted to know on with that.
I am sure you did. The school district, they have a fiscal issue all of a sudden.
They
any,
do.
Any thoughts on that? Any overview on that? Have they come to you for more funding yet?
I'm sure they have, and they will be. You know, there's a lot of issues going on with the school district. You know, the good thing is we've got a great group of teachers and folks who work at the school district and really take pride and care in teaching our young folks, our next generation, so to speak. Their hearts are in it, you know, and they have to be. Difficult times coming for sure. I mean, just look at the bus issue. Just look at trying to get drivers for the buses. The shortfall in funding because of the enrollment numbers are down. So the state's going to be, you know, giving less money to the schools, and that's where their shortfalls are going to come in. I wish that they would prepare a little better. I mean, they can see these things coming, and there should be contingency plans on what they're going to do in when you have certain problems like pandemics and catastrophes. What are they going to do? There should be policies in place to take care of that. And so I don't know what they're going to do. That most likely they will be coming and they will be asking for more. Now the borough assembly the borough is responsible to fund the school districts up to about $36 million in that area. We are required by state law to fund that amount. Last year we funded over $50 million, so we were above and beyond what is required by law to fund the school district. What it's going to be this year, I have yet to see, and you know we haven't yet to find out. I hope that the school district is really looking at ways that they can maximize their efficiency and minimize their cost.
You know, it's a critical time. It's an interesting time. There's never one thing that causes a $18 million revenue shortfall. It's a combination of things. You could look at COVID. You could look at the way the school district has implemented policy that has driven out a lot of parents. Therefore, your enrollment's down. You can look at the competition from the different homeschooling programs and the different charter schools or different private schools. It's always a combination of things. So
there's a great homeschool community in this area.
Yeah.
We've been homeschooling our kids for many years. And so when the pandemic hit, you know, it was business as usual for my family because we are already ready and already doing it. So that really helps, you know, and homeschooling is a good thing for this community. There's so many groups that get together. It's really a great interaction between a lot of different families here.
Yeah, and you have so many good choices on what homeschool program you want.
Right.
You know, my philosophy in education is for a good education, you need active parents with a good teacher who's active with a student.
Active parents are critical.
Yeah.
The more time you spend with your kids, being involved with their activities, with their schooling, the more likely your kids are going to be able to succeed at a higher level.
Yeah, it's a critical time frame, and school district, the eyes of Fairbanks are upon you.
So true, so true.
Now, you also, looking at budgets, your capital program,
the Capital Improvement Program, the KIP.
Yes.
A really unique way, and it's only been...
one round or one year.
Yeah,
basically.
It's only been a year or two since that the program has, and it's changed and modified a bit, but it is really a unique way to really identify the maintenance issues we have, the building issues that we have, and it's a good way to get some community involvement.
You know, it was interesting. I had Jim Williams come on my show under Carl Castle, Mayor Castle, and they made an announcement basically on the radio here that they've underfunded repairs, maintenance by either somewhere between $200 and $400 million. That's what the backlog is. So, okay, you've made the announcement. Now, how are you going to fix it? Well, Carl Castle doesn't run for a second term, but so Bryce Ward comes in, he comes out with the KIP program. Okay. So my thought was these are dedicated funds for upgrades on existing structures, maintenance, and items like that. But I keep seeing from the borough administration new buildings. I mean, and then a really big one is, you know, this very
sports complex.
Yeah.
Yes. $100 million sports complex is on the KIP. The assembly approved the initial feasibility study, and so they're going to, I can't remember how much money was put into that, but they are going to be looking at indoor soccer fields and new swimming pools, and I believe the concept is going to be in addition to the Big Dipper. So in that area of, connected to the Big Dipper, that's kind of what it's going for.
You know, it should be very telling, especially with the seat that you sit at, with them operating the Carlson Center now, the borough. You know, before they were looking at this through their budget was whatever the operators need, there's a subsidy, here it is. Then they started putting on a maximum amount of the subsidy. Then they said, we're going to operate it. So it should be really telling to see if they give you the true numbers of what it costs to operate that facility and the subsidy that it takes.
I think the cost is going up.
My name is Frank Tomaszewski, and I'm just going to be matter of fact.
Well, you know, I didn't vote for – I tried to get that sports complex pulled off of the KIP project, but it passed anyway. I tried to get the Carlson Center pulled off as far as taking it over, and it got put in there anyway. What they came through and they said, well, you know, it's costing us $1.5 million in subsidies per year. You know, I'm rough estimating, of course, but the way we're going to do it now, it's only going to cost us $250,000. And I don't really, you know, it's kind of pie in the sky. But when you start seeing other costs added, and, you know, I've all of a sudden there's, well, we need new access and doors and cameras, and that's going to be $1 million. And, you know, we need new play equipment, and that's going to be $1 million. And it continues to build and add. And then there's new employees. How many employees is it going to take to run the Carlson Center?
We're going to take a quick phone call before our commercial break. Good morning. You're on KFAR with Frank Tomaszewski. We only got a minute. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, is there a giveaway?
I beg your pardon?
You have a giveaway?
No, we don't. Not at the moment.
Sorry.
That's okay. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. This is KFAR. We're going to got Frank Tomaszewski in the studio with me, and we'll be back after these messages. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Federal health officials are urging all Americans to either get vaccinated or get a booster shot before the holiday season.
When you get together with your family and friends this Thanksgiving, no mask needed if everyone's vaccinated. That's from Dr. Anthony Fauci. Booster shots are now available for everyone, and the White House reports 3 million Americans got their third booster shot over the weekend.
Fox's Phil Keating. And President Biden addresses gas price hikes by releasing 50 million barrels of oil from the U.S. stockpile.
A step taken in coordination with other leading economies to help bring down prices. Gas in the U.S. is averaging about $3.40 a gallon. That is a 50% increase from a year ago. A White House statement says the release of petroleum from the reserves is not a contradiction to long-term climate goals. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that Dr. John Walsh first began researching the Arctic in the late 1960s and early 70s. Now, more than 50 years later, he's become the first United States scientist to win a premier Arctic Research Award. Walsh, chief scientist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks International Arctic Research Center, is the recipient of the 2022 Mone Prize for his contributions to Arctic research. The Mone Prize, which equates to roughly $230,000 in funds intended to advance Arctic research, is biannually awarded to a scientist who has developed new knowledge about the Arctic region and is an international leader in research. I was definitely surprised and somewhat stunned at the actual reality of being awarded the prize, Walsh said. I wasn't sure if it was real at first. I'd heard of the prize before. I knew the prize existed, but I wasn't sure that it was legitimate. Walsh is a leading Arctic climate change expert and specializes in climate modeling, addressing regional vulnerabilities, downscaling models, designing research studies, and developing, testing, and evaluating research information, products, and tools.
Streaming live online at
KFAR660.com. Hi, Craig from Compos here. If you watch the news, they warn the shelves are going to be empty this year. Well, not at Compos. So if you've got someone in your family that's a motorhead or outdoor enthusiast, you need to do your shopping at Compos. We've got snow machine accessories, everything from super warm clothing and helmets to cargo boxes, inreaches, and more. And check out our new VoltSafe device. It's a wireless programmable plug for your car. Super cool. And of course, there's always Compo Cash gift certificates. Hey, we're stocked up, so check us out. Compos on Boat Street across from West Freddy's.
Buying dry wood is good for you, your neighbors, and the air quality in this place we call home. Dry wood burns cleaner and more efficiently, so you can stay warm all winter long. Buying from a registered wood seller is the best way to ensure you're getting dry wood with the necessary 20% or less moisture content. Check out akwoodsellers.com to learn about registered wood sellers. And remember, protect our air. Buy dry wood. This message brought to you by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
Fairbanks Fit Body Boot Camp welcomes you. The convenient location downtown on 3rd Avenue makes it super convenient to stop by anytime. Your 50-50 Friday offer from Fairbanks Fit Body Boot Camp includes 1 month of unlimited workouts. You're going to love fitness training with Fairbanks Fit Body Boot Camp. This high-intensity interval training will leave you feeling physically and mentally refreshed. Your package includes your consultation, meal plan, and cookbook to get the most out of your program. Get 1 month unlimited training for half price this Friday from Fairbanks Fit Body Boot Camp.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prus in the studio here with Frank Tomaszewski. He's running for State House, and we just got a phone call that we're going to take. Good morning. You're on KFAR with Frank Tomaszewski, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Ron once more, David.
And hello, Ron, once more. How are you doing?
I'm well, but just to offer a comment in support of the assemblyman's position on the rec facility, I would submit that we have a number of private operations within the city and borough that cater to the recreational facilities. And it seems to me that there's plenty there for people who want to avail themselves of it, to say nothing of the fact that it would place the borough in direct competition with small business people.
Very well put, Ron. Very well put.
Absolutely. Right. That's certainly one thing I do not want to see government, you know, in direct competition with private individuals, private businesses. We need smaller, more efficient government and more freedoms and individual rights for our business and property owners.
Well, I would add that while I'm a retired public employee, I do have a son in Anchorage that is a small business owner, and I have to support that segment of the economy.
Well, here's the thing about it, Ron. Our public employees are great, wonderful people, work hard, earn their money, contribute. But what happens is management comes in with ideas like this, and these aren't public employees who are, you know, creating this per se. This is management and upper management in borough and state governments.
Well, having been part of that for a number of years, I can certainly go along with that proposition.
Ron, you have a great day, right, and a happy Thanksgiving to you, sir, okay?
You too, gentlemen. Thank you.
Another phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Frank Tomaszewski, and your name is?
Hey, David. How are you doing? It's Will Stapp here in Fairbanks. Hey, Frank.
Good morning, Will. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Another beautiful day in Fairbanks. First, let me say I think Frank has done a fantastic job on the assembly, and I'm excited for his run for State House. But I did kind of want to ask him about the KIPP project since we're on the subject. So I had the privilege of going before the assembly to kind of pitch the project that I had done with my Rotary Club, our Sunrisers Rotary Park. And I learned a few things that experience, put it that way. But I also kind of learned that there isn't really a good way of identifying projects that are on the KIPP that kind of local community members want to achieve in the private sector with their own money, right? So is there any way that maybe there's a way to better facilitate that kind of relationship between the volunteer aspect and the community aspect rallying around a project and kind of the borough KIPP?
That's a great question. And there's definitely a need for that. We have a lot of folks that want to get involved and volunteer their own time. They donate their own money, and they get together as a community, as a group, and work on a project. And that's really what this community is all about, and that's what we really need. The problem is, I think, that you have administration and legal who get in there and get involved and with risk management, and they go, well, you know, if you pick up that screwdriver and drop it on your toe, then, you know, we're liable. So there really needs to be some sort of mechanism that can really get around that and make it available so people like you can do it. I know I remember your project specifically. You guys had a certain amount of money, and they put it in the KIPP as, you know, almost six times that amount of money, and you said, wait a minute, I don't think it's going to cost that much. But, you know, yeah, the way the government works, it's the, you know, bigger, and it always costs more than what a private individual can do.
Will, thank you for the phone call, sir. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks.
Frank, you're running for a state house. What made you go that direction?
Well, you know, I've been watching the news like most other folks, and I kind of keep in touch with what's going on. And, you know, what we really have right now is, to put it kindly, we have a dysfunctional legislature. And
you're putting it kindly.
Yeah, I'm putting it kindly. I know that the folks, they've served, and, you know, they've done the work, and it's just difficult to watch things happen in almost slow motion. You know, it took them over 30 days to even organize, and it's really you have to be able to work through these tough issues. You have to be able to cross the aisle and talk with someone and really put partisanship to the side and say, you know, what is best for Alaska? And I really don't see that happening right now in our state legislature.
You know, I look at this race, and you're in the same district as Representative Grier Hopkins. And it's a great comparison. I just look at this and say, okay, on this side, just listening to you, you've owned your own business, you've produced, you're on that side. On the other side is a person who's only worked for government entities or quasi-governmental entities. He works for, when he's not getting his state legislator paycheck, Grier is a business agent with the Fairbanks Education Association through the Alaska Education through the NEA. I mean, one or the other. And so there's a great comparison. What side do you want? Do you want someone who has earned or someone who gets?
Well, it definitely is a contrast. And I really think that, you know, the people of Alaska deserve someone who has really been there. They've been there and understands the struggles that normal everyday Alaskans are really going through now. I mean, just the different issues that have come, like take the PFD, you know, right now the state could easily have paid a full PFD. And there are a lot of people out there this year and over the past year and a half, 2 years with COVID and everything else, with businesses closing and jobs put on hold and lockdowns, that could really have used that money. And it's really a regressive tax on the lowest income folks in the state. And I'm completely against that. And I think we should have, and they should have, paid a complete and full dividend this year.
You know, it's interesting how you put that. If there, whether you're for having a PFD enshrined in the Constitution or not, if there ever was a year since in the last 5 years that Alaska could have, should have paid a full PFD, this was the year. Not one government employee lost their job, which is good. Not one government employee lost a paycheck, which is good. But look what happened to the private sector. How many businesses, how many people lost employment?
I just look around our community and I yeah. see businesses closing.
And it was in the state house side is the reason why you did not get a full PFD. The state Senate voted in favor of the PFD, $3,250, 14-6. The House voted 20-20. It did not pass.
And Grier Hopkins voted against that. And I would have yeah. been that 21st vote.
I always tell people, if you want to pull a full, if you want a PFD, don't enshrine the Constitution. Put people in who are going to give you the PFD. That's the immediate.
It's simple. You know, since, what was it, 1982?
That the 81, first, 82, yeah.
That the first PFDs came out. It's been simple.
You were up here. You were up here. You might not have been old enough to get one, but you were up here.
No, I received the first PFD. Yeah. It was $1,000.
Yeah.
And my parents drilled a well with that PFD. I had four siblings, and we didn't have running water at the time, and they took that money, and they drilled a well, and we put water in our house.
It paid for my out-of-state tuition that semester.
Yeah.
And so I remember getting that $1,000 check, too. And I was at college. I was like, oh, this really helps.
I think I must have been 10 years old when that I was going to Fox Elementary School. I grew up in Fox, and it's a
great community.
Yeah, it's a
great community. And so basically, you know, you don't live in Fox, but you live in the outlying areas.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yep. I was just right there next to the Fox Springs. I drank my water there. I remember when the Fox Springs, you didn't have to push a button to get the water out of there. That spring just ran full times, 24 hours a day. You just came down.
Came out of the pipe, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just beautiful. I still drink that water today. I have a well in my house, but
you got to go get your Fox water.
I go get my Fox water because my kids can tell the difference.
Yeah, you can. I mean, and I remember growing up, you know, people always had this, you know, Rubbermaid pitcher. Mm-hmm. In their refrigerator with Fox water. It's just what you did.
Yeah, it's great water. Just, you know, the minerals and the vitamins that come out of that, it's just wonderful.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Happy Thanksgiving from our Woodway family to yours. We have truly been blessed this year, and we are so thankful for your business and loyalty. We wish you and your family the very best this holiday season. The Woodway will be closed from November 25th, Thanksgiving Day, through Sunday the 28th. We look forward to seeing you again when we resume regular business hours on Monday, November 29th, celebrating friends and family the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
November, the month we all think about everything we're thankful for, like turkey. The Food Factory is layering on the turkey Nashville panini style this month with smoked turkey breast, maple bacon, Gouda cheese, Dijon mustard, and all the fixins on sourdough bread. Also, additional team members are still needed as they prepare to open up 7 days a week. All positions full or part-time, and all positions receive tips too. Apply in person at the Food Factory on Bentley Trust Road.
See your world in perfect focus. Keep your eyes in perfect health. Visit optometrist Dr. Rebecca Wilbur for comprehensive family vision care with strong emphasis on medical eye disease and pediatric eye care. Dr. Wilbur, practicing locally since 2016, was born and raised in Southwest Alaska. Rebecca is part of your Eye Clinic of Fairbanks team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians providing medical and surgical eye care, prescription lenses, fashion eyewear, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
Receive rebate savings on your purchase of four new Bridgestone Blizzak snow tires now at GCR. Get a grip on winter. Slip on your Blizzak snow tires today. Then submit the online form to receive your prepaid Visa card up to $100. There's a Blizzak snow tire for practically everything you drive. Don't wait. The Bridgestone Blizzak promotion rewards offer ends December 6th. Your best tire value is always GCR. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Weather on KFAR brought to you by the all-new Rat Pack Cigar on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West. For quality cigars, even a tasting room. Over 100 varieties. Rat Pack Cigar.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. High of zero today under partly cloudy skies with flurries likely. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered flurries likely tonight, 14 below. Chance for snow again tomorrow, 7 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 4 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Borough Assembly member and House of Representative candidate from District 34, Frank Tomaszewski. Now, we just went through a redistricting phase. It happens every 10 years, and all districts are realigned, and you are in the old 4, which is now 34, but it has been adjusted by the Alaska Redistricting Board. And in the interior, every member of the Alaska Redistricting Board voted in unison for these districts and how they were set up.
Yeah, they put a lot of hard work into really arranging the districts to best represent the people of Fairbanks and what is now, you know, state law as far as how many people between each district. It's kind of broke up into categories by the number of people that are in those districts.
Now, the Borough Assembly had a resolution that basically, according to John Binkley, and he complied with it, it basically said, okay, we want all representation. We don't want 5.2 districts all in five. We want some of our members into a district represented by someone else. And that basically, so I asked them a specific question on who they kicked off the island. They said Goldstream, and that's in Mike Cronk's district now. And I just laughed at that, you know, kicking them off the island. So, but your district, if you start at Farmers Loop and Blaine, then you start going to the east, and then you take into account.
So we have part of Farmers Loop, what used to be Farmers Loop, from everything on the west or the east of Blaine Road. And then we have Steese East, Steese West, Gilmore Trail, Fox, Two Rivers. And it sweeps all the way around North Pole and picks up Eielson and Salcha and Harding Lake.
Yeah, and Birch Lake. It picks Birch up that portion of the Fairbanks North Star borough.
Right.
Okay. So a brand new district, what is there, 18,332 voters in each district or something like that?
That's supposed to be, that's the goal.
Yeah.
It, almost impossible to get it exactly verbatim, exact numbers, but that's the goal, to get a certain percentage on each.
Hmm. Any thoughts on, if elected, what you're going to work on?
So there's a lot of issues that we really need to address. You know, Alaska came in 50th out of 50 in the states for business. Let me pull that up. It's the Alaska Policy Forum came and they said, and they reported on what the Alaska business
probably looking at workability with government entities and how good it is here in Alaska.
Yeah, well, one of the factors in this was a state fiscal policy.
We don't have one.
No, we don't, and that really dropped our rating on business productivity, and we don't have fiscal. We don't have anybody, you know, actually having a fiscal plan. So what we really need to do is get our house in order.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because Governor Dunleavy put together a bipartisan commission of six people in the Senate, six people in the House, each from every party, the majority and the minority, and they got together and they said, this is what we should work on, our fiscal policy. And they went into their third special session, excuse me, to have this, and the Louise Stutes, the Speaker of the House, stopped it. Nothing happens without her. She's from Kodiak, and it all stopped right there. Yet you had 12 people in both the Senate and the House say, this is what we should do. So I think you are joining the right side of the inefficient, you're looking to join the right side of the inefficient government entity to make it more efficient.
Yeah, business competitiveness is really important. You know, and we need to be able to get behind the businesses and not be in the way. You know, getting access to capital, having good fiscal tax policy, and having a state government that actually is, you know, has a real budget and has real fiscal priorities would definitely help in the business competitiveness.
There you go. You know, it's we live in a very large state with a very small population. So our resources are meant to pay for our entities that we need to operate the state. Education, healthcare, roads, airports. Yet we still have such outside interests trying to shut down our resource revenue.
We need to, we're a resource state. You know, our oil, our gas, our timber, you know, it's all so important that we develop these resources and create good paying jobs for our people. We want, I have just had my first grandbaby last year.
Oh, congratulations, Granddad.
Thank you.
And you got all your hair like I don't? Oh.
I'm getting a little thin up there, but, you know.
Congratulations, I still got enough. You and Harmony. Congratulations, Harmony.
Yeah, I still have a little to keep my head warm, but. You know, I want an Alaska where she is going to be able to live and to prosper. And we need to have those good paying jobs, and we need to responsibly and sustainably use those resources. We have timber. We have, you know, another issue that we need to increase is our tourism. You know, tourists, they come into our state, they look at our beautiful state, and they drop a ton of money, yeah. You know, into hotels and restaurants and businesses. And that's so good for our economy. We really need to focus on using our state wisely, but at the same time being efficient in what we do.
We're going to take a phone call here. Got a couple lined up. Good morning. You're on KFAR with Assembly Member and House, State House candidate Frank Tomaszewski, and your name is?
My name's Bill. I have a question of your guest. What is his stance, I guess, with regard to recognition of tribal sovereignty? There's a petition going around. As I understand it, the federal government has recognized, I don't know, 150-some tribes in Alaska. And I guess the thrust of this initiative is to have the state recognize tribal sovereignty, which, as I understand it, would result in people who are not tribal members being subject to tribal courts. So I guess the upshot is, what is your perspective, how do you believe the state should deal with the tribal sovereignty issue? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Oh, thank you. That's a great question. You know, I haven't seen the petition myself, so I haven't had a chance to read and see what
it's fairly new,
what they're asking for. But, you know, the native peoples that were here, you know, they love this land. They love the state, just like I love the state. And, you know, for someone to want to have their own rights guaranteed to them, I think is a good thing. You know, we all want our freedoms. We want our rights. And I think that we really need to look at that issue and study and see the effects, you know, because we don't want to get into a position where where state is versus native lands. And we want to be fair and equitable to everyone.
Ready for another phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Frank Tomaszewski, and your name is?
Well, I was just about to ask who your guest is because I tuned in late, but I just wanted to say that I think Louise Stutes or any of the other legislators that stopped the disastrous plan to put a 50-50 plan into the Alaska Constitution are heroes to stop something horrible like that. In my opinion, the proper PFD law should be a 12.5% of the 5% draw plus an expansion clause for it to be bigger if there's a surplus.
You know, Randy, my philosophy is if you have 20 people in a room, you're going to have 20 different philosophies.
That's right.
I love Randy. Randy, thanks for calling in. That's, you know, a good statement, and I appreciate your side of the your view on the PFD. I think that, you know, it's been in our state statute for so long, and it's been, and the legislator has abided by those statutes for so long, and for someone to come right along and just break the law. If they're going to change the law, that's one thing, but they need to abide by the laws that they put in place, and we really need to be a law-abiding state.
Last phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and your name is?
Good morning. This is Lee out of Denali.
Hello, Lee. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I just wanted to... response to recognizing tribal lands via state recognition. A couple of reminders about that having 100-plus new fiefdoms inside of the state is going to be very interesting. And the real question is, if these tribal courts start charging people, who's going to represent the interest of the person being charged if they're not a tribal member? And again, everybody needs to look at it from a fair and equitable lens. But you're getting ready to open up Pandora's box, and I hope you're ready for that. And in terms of Randy and his 12%, have a good time with that, Randy. 50-50 is where it's at.
Okay, we got four people in the room, four different ideas. Thank you, Lee. You got 30 seconds to finish up here, and thank you for being on, Frank.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with good folks of Fairbanks. You know, I've been in Fairbanks. I've lived here basically my whole life, and I just really am thankful for the opportunity. And one thing I want to say about, not about myself, but hey, if you are available, get down and support your local food bank. Thanksgiving's coming up next week, and they need a lot of donations. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Fairbanks. We'll see you tomorrow.
KFAR, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. News and conversation in Fairbanks, Alaska. Proudly brought to you by...